Thank you, Larry. It is indeed a pleasure. I speak on behalf of Mindy and myself. Just a pleasure to be back with you, old friends. Been coming here a long time. I told my granddaughters that Bobby Buckner back there changed my diapers. That's how long known her. Thank you, Brother Larry, for having us. And thank you, ladies, for all the work you've already done, the food, the hospitality. Thank you so much. I repeat what Brother Gabe said, what an honor it is for somebody to ask you to preach for them. I remember you saying one time that you only had men preach for you whom you could sit and listen to as pastor. I feel the same way. And don't just have anybody preach in our pulpit, do we, Brother Gabe? We're very jealous over our pulpit. People hear the truth and hear it from a true man. So it's quite an honor for a man to ask you to preach in his pulpit once, twice. Brother Worthen had me three times recently. And Brother Fortner also said what a blessing, what an honor it is for me to be preaching here with my son-in-law. It certainly is. And I did preach a few times in meetings with my father. He's a pretty good preacher. One time, Brother Scott had he and me up there to preach, and the format was the first fellow would do a 15-20 minute devotional. Just read the scriptures and just a little devotional. Well, Dad went first. It was far from just a devotional. It's the best message I've ever heard. I told him later, I said, Dad, you weren't supposed to preach. Supposed to give a devotional. Brother Brett, his son-in-law was here last night, Jason. He preaches too. That. What a blessing. You turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Gospel of Mark chapter 7. Our Lord Jesus Christ performed many miracles that proved him to be the Christ. One time John sent a couple of his disciples to our Lord when he was in prison. And he asked him, "Are you he that should come, or do we look for another?" And you remember our Lord sent word back and said, "Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Our Lord performed many miracles that proved him to be the Christ. Now all of these miracles, and these men, every one of these men, have preached on these, your pastor many times, and these other men. And has shown us clearly that these miracles are pictures of a greater miracle, the miracle of salvation. Every one of these afflictions are a picture of man's spiritual condition, blind. We're all born blind, can't see our Creator, can't see His hand in anything, can't see our Lord Jesus Christ, His beauty, His glory. See no beauty in Him that we should desire. We're lame, we can't come, won't come to Him. We're lepers, we have this deadly disease in us. We're deaf, we cannot hear the Word of God. Cannot hear, dead in trespassing and sin. But in the day that the Lord saves, like here in this story, the day the Lord comes to a person in salvation, the new birth, that day is the day of their salvation. And in that day, Isaiah wrote, "In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the blind shall see out of obscurity." A man told you recently, Gabe, you told me that he said, I didn't know Christ was in all the scripture, did you? The blind shall see out of obscurity. Look at there. It's all about Christ. And out of darkness. And they that erred in spirit shall come to understanding. And they that murmured, I'll never believe that. I don't like that. Shall learn doctrine. That's the way it is. It's a miracle. It's a miracle when the Lord gives eyes to see and ears to hear. Here in Mark chapter 7 and maybe chapter 8 if we have time, it's a story of a man, a story of two men, chapter 7 and chapter 8. One is deaf and one is blind. And both were saved the same way and by the same one. Took the same one, doing the same thing to both of them, to give it ears to hear and eyes to see. Look at, first of all, look at this. Verse 24, he went into this village, that village, this town, and that town, and he went into Tyre and Sidon. How far will the Lord go to save one sinner? A long way. He'll leave the 90 and the 9 to go after one lost sheep. Point. Tyre and Sidon was the northernmost, the furthest most point up on the coast of Israel. It was the uttermost part of Israel. He's able to save to the uttermost. He goes to great lengths to save his people. He must bring them. He came. He went to Tyre and Sidon. Look at verse 31. And he departed from there. It's all significant. He departed from Tyre and Sidon. Our Lord came to this place and that place, and then he left. One place, Capernaum, he stayed a good while. It was often called his city, wasn't it? Because he dwelt there so long. We believe he was there at least 2 years or more. He stayed there. Our Lord would come to these places, and he would preach, and he would teach, and he would heal, and he would save people. In great mercy and grace, our Lord would come to these little places for his people. But then he would leave after a while. There's something for us to learn here. The gospel has come to Sylacauga. Came here years ago, didn't it? What a blessing. Came to Crossfield, to Danville, to Rocky Mount, now Kingsport. What a blessing. The greatest blessing of God upon a community of people, isn't it? For the gospel to come, a preacher of the gospel to come, Winston, Georgia. But he doesn't stay there. It's there for a while. In the history of the church, these men that know the history of the church, all those churches in the Revelation, seven of them, they're gone. They're gone. And all the sheep are called into the fold, and it's gone. Our Lord leaves. So what an opportunity. The gospel is still here, isn't it? The Lord has given you a faithful preacher, a true preacher of the gospel. What an opportunity. What a blessing. This is truly the day of salvation. The gospel is still being preached. And if you know someone who doesn't know the Lord, like these people, they had a man they wanted to hear Christ, and they brought him to him. And you bring him. You bring him. This was this man's day of salvation. Verse 32 in our story, he departed from Tyre and Sidon, and they bring unto him one that was deaf. They, who were they? Well, all who come to Christ hear of Christ. These people that brought this man that was deaf, they had heard of him themselves. How shall they hear without a preacher? They came, heard, someone told them about the healer of deaf people, the blind received their sight, the lepers are cleansed, and they. Maybe they were deaf themselves. Maybe they had their ears open. Maybe they had their eyes open, and they by Christ. And so all they did was they wanted their friend to come, have his ears open, and in the next chapter have his eyes open. And so they besought the Lord in verse 32. They besought the Lord to put his hand upon him. They bring unto him. They bring this man unto him. Now, what is witnessing? Someone once said that witnessing is just one beggar telling another where he got food. It's one sinner telling another who saved him. Our Lord told one fella that after he healed him, he said, go home and tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. Tell your story. And so whoever it was, whoever they were, they brought this man to our Lord. And they brought this man to him. They brought this man to him. They didn't bring him to the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors, the lawyers. They can't do anything for them. Perhaps they'd heard these scribes and Pharisees. And one time our Lord, after he preached, well, the Sermon on the Mount, they said, he preaches as one that has authority, not like the scribes. Have you ever heard scribes preach? Oh my, they can't do you any good. They wanted this man to hear from Christ, didn't they? They brought him to, not the Pharisees, not the scribes, not the temple. They didn't bring him to the temple. They brought him to Christ. It's vain, it's useless to go to most so-called churches today, because Christ is not there. The gospel is not there. To hear philosophers, to hear moralists, to hear legalists. We don't bring men to Moses and the law. Moses wrote of him. Bring them to Christ. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Isaiah said, to him shall all men come. To him. Jacob said, to him shall the gathering of the people be. We bring people to Christ. We want them to hear from him. He alone is the wisdom they need, isn't it? He alone is the righteousness they need, isn't it? He alone is the sanctification they need, isn't it? He alone is the Redeemer. He alone is the Savior, the Mediator, the Messiah. He alone is all they need. Christ is truly all. Is he all? What we got to say about that, Gabe? Yay. And amen. All spiritual blessing. If you want somebody to be blessed, they need to come to Christ. They need to hear Christ. All the more reason to bring them where he is preached. He's not preached everywhere. Do you know it's so? You've heard various preachers around this area. Are they preaching Christ? Huh? You've heard them, Brother Gary, haven't you, up there? Not many places, though. This place, this is where Christ is. This is where his gospel is being preached. So they brought this man to Christ. Because in him alone is pardon, is peace, everything that we need. Everything. They bring him to Christ. Now it says in verse 32 that this man was deaf. This man was deaf. They bring him to Christ. He was deaf. One that was deaf. They desperately wanted this man, whoever it was, a brother or a friend to them, they wanted him to hear. And they wanted him to hear Christ's voice. They wanted him to hear Christ speak to him. He was deaf. He could not hear. He couldn't hear if he wanted to. He couldn't hear anything. One time our Lord said in John chapter 8, he said, why do you not understand my speech? He says, because you cannot hear my word. Most people who are deaf are born that way, aren't they? Like many people in Scripture that were blind. They were born blind or lame. Most people that are deaf are born that way. The truth is all of us are born this way. Deaf. We're all born deaf. We cannot hear the truth. We cannot hear the Word of God. We will not hear the Word of God. Obstinately deaf. Most are born that way, and all of us are. I know it's so, because that was me. Was it you? I could not hear. I would not hear. I sat, and Brother Britt will attest to this, preacher's kid, sat and heard and didn't hear a thing. Having ears to hear, our Lord said, but they hear not. Eyes to see, but they see not. That was me. I love to tell my story. You've heard it, but I've got to tell you what great things the Lord has done for me. But this preacher's kid played the prodigal. Not only could he not hear, but there came a time when I would not hear. I rose above that old-fashioned, foolish religion of my father and even told my friends such. Am I ashamed of that now? But I not only could not hear, I would not hear. That's even worse. There's no greater proof of man's depravity. Now, you can talk about the wickedness of man, all of the murder and rape and just all that goes on by man. But there's no greater proof of the depravity of man that he will not hear the word of God. He refuses to worship God. It's painful to get an unbeliever to come and sit and just thank God. Just hear the word of God. He'd rather do anything. Men and women would rather do anything than sit and hear the word of God. There's no greater proof of depravity than that. That was me. You know, I can't preach the gospel without these two words. But God. But God. Man will hear fools. A lot of foolish talk today. A whole lot of talk. A lot of voices. And people are ready to hear anything and everyone but the Son of God, who is wisdom personified, would rather listen to and heed anything anyone says but Jesus Christ. Now that's depraved. That's depraved. Look at verse 26 in this. Remember this story. The woman, the Syrophoenician woman, came to our Lord. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. In another place he said, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So brethren, it's so of all of our unsaved children, isn't it? They're either indwelt by the Spirit of God or another spirit. They may not know it. And the reason we know they're vexed with the devil, because we were. But God. Bring these to him. Bring them to him. How do we bring people to Christ? Now these people, these friends of this man, they didn't save this man. They couldn't give him hearing. That's why they brought him to Christ. They didn't really do anything for him. But they just brought him to where Christ was so that he could hear from him. Okay? How do we bring people to Christ? Prayer. Prayer. We call upon them. You know anybody that will not hear the gospel? You know anybody that you have a burden for? A spouse, a father, a mother, a son, or a daughter? You know anybody that just will? You have a brother that will not hear? I do. Pray for him all the time. I can't do a thing for him. Is there anyone that you've spoken to until you, like we say, you're blue in the face and they just won't hear you? I tell you who they will hear if he gives a word. Cry. So we bring them in prayer. We call upon the Lord in prayer. We bring them by witnessing, talking to them about the gospel. Done with CDs and tapes and all of these things are the means which the Lord uses for people to hear his voice, aren't they? And literally bring them into a place like this where the gospel is preached. And if God is pleased, they're going to hear his voice. Well, this man was deaf. He was deaf. He couldn't hear a thing. He's not deaf. My wife, all you men, your wives accuse you of having a selective hearing. No. That's what mine said. You only hear what you want to hear. It's not so, honey. I listen intently to everything you say. Just I'm a little bit hard of hearing. Right, Terry? Right? This man couldn't hear anything. He's deaf. He couldn't hear anything. If it thundered, didn't shake you. No fear. If music, beautiful music was playing, something melodious, a sad tune, didn't affect him. Saddened him. Happy tune. Got no joy out of it. I preach to people every Sunday and every Wednesday. I pipe to them and they won't dance. I mourn and they don't lament. They haven't heard. It's obvious to me. It's obvious. What's it going to take? Well, I'm constantly bringing them to the Lord. Lord, I can't do anything. I'm doing what you tell me to do, preach. But you're going to have to open their ear. You that made the ear, you'll have to give ears to hear. You that made the eyes, you have to make it see. Oh, my. How do we know this man was deaf? Look at verse 32. It says he had an impediment in his speech. This was a dead giveaway. Because he couldn't hear certain sounds. Now, I would not by any means make light of, belittle people who are deaf or hard of hearing and their speech. I am hard of hearing. I have hearing aids. I don't wear them, but I have them. But I went, the lady who fitted me for hearing aid is deaf. And yet she tried to speak to me. She had an interpreter the whole time who was speaking to me, but she was trying. And it's so obvious when people cannot hear certain sounds, certain consonants, certain vowels, and so forth. If they cannot hear certain sounds, they cannot repeat those sounds themselves. And their speech will give them away that they cannot hear clearly. An impediment in the speech. And so it is with the irreligious and the religious people of the world that don't know the Lord. The irreligious, they have an impediment in their speech. Unsaved, their speech gives them away, doesn't it? I mean, when men call upon God and blaspheme God with every breath, God's name is upon the lips of even little children today, isn't it? It's not funny. It's very serious. Oh my God. God said he will not hold them guiltless who takes his name in vain. Didn't he? It's not. My wife, in very great concern for a young lady who's a member of a church, local, of a Grace church, who wrote her and put OMG. And Mindy, in very great concern, wrote her back and said, do you understand what that means? And she got greatly offended over that. She's just trying to warn her. It's taking God's name in vain. People that take God's name in vain. David said, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Men can't fear God if they use his name like that. Children. Irreligious blaspheme his name. They flatter themselves. A proud person cannot know God. You can't know God and be proud. Can you? The religious are worse, though. What the religious say today about God is worse, isn't it? And it clearly tells me and tells us that they don't know God. They haven't heard you. They have a speech impediment, the things that they say about God. And I hesitate to repeat some of the things that you see on these signs and so forth. But did you ever think you'd hear and see some of the things that you're seeing in religion today? We're down in North Carolina on the beach, and one of these so-called churches, a sign out front said, God doesn't just love you, he really likes you. In Orange Beach, one said this out in front of a Southern Baptist church. He said, God is madly in love with you. That clearly tells me they don't know God. An impediment in speech. There's a dead giveaway. The speech. Everything they're saying about God. God loves everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Won't you let him? Here it is. Here's the impediment in speech. It's a dead giveaway of everyone that you talk to, whether or not they know the Lord or not. Here it is. An impediment in speech. I. Their profession, their hope, their everything begins this way. I accepted Jesus. I let him into my heart. I made him Lord of my life. Isn't it true? I often ask people, one of the first things I ask them, when I find out they're religious, they find out I'm a preacher, they want to tell me how religious I am. And the first thing I ask them is, what is your hope of eternal life? And people, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever you believe, or rather who, will come out of your heart, Mark. And every time, these people will say, I accept you. That's an impediment. That's a dead giveaway. One time, a man came to Mindy, a man who gave Hannah no well. And he supposedly got religion. And she met him somewhere downtown, and he came up all excited and said, I got saved. And Mindy said to him, I'm sorry to hear that. And he was shocked. What do you mean by that? And she said, wisely, she said, if the Lord had saved you, you would have said so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Brethren, if the Lord saves you, that's what you'll say. The Lord saved me. If you got saved, that's what you'll say. I got saved. If someone died saving you, say you were drowning and someone went out and saved you and they laid down their life saving you, would you talk about how you let him save you? Would you? Would you not sing that person's praises? We're talking about the Son of God who came and laid down his life for his people. Huh? And those whom Christ really died for, that's what they say. What's your hope of salvation? Christ died. What's your hope of eternal life? Christ. His righteousness. His shed blood. His redemption. Don't they? But those who haven't heard his voice, haven't heard the truth, they have an impediment in their speech. Verse 32. And it says that they besought him, the Lord, to put his hand upon him. Lord, please lay hold of him. Would you take this man? Would you please accept him? You see, you hear these men say that, I just said it, that you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's not in the Scripture. He's not up for acceptance or rejection. Well, the fact is, all men reject him. He's despised and rejected by men, all of it, by nature. But we're the ones up for acceptance or rejection of him. It's his divine prerogative who is accepted. Isaiah said this. Here's the good news. Isaiah said, we proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. This gospel is the declaration of acceptance with God. There is acceptance with God. God is accepting all applications for mercy. But only those who are guilty. Only those who need mercy. But God is accepting all who apply to him for mercy. Isn't that good news? What's unfair about that? Nothing. It's mercy. It's grace. And granting to everyone it applies. So they kept beseeching him, like that Syrophoenician woman. She kept coming to the Lord. She kept coming. Now, don't be surprised if you ask the Lord if he will accept somebody that he takes him. Look at verse 33. He took him. They besought the Lord to take this friend of theirs, this brother, this whoever it was. Lord, would you lay hold of it? He did. And he did. He took him. He laid hold of this man. How old was this man? It doesn't say, does it? He may have been 40 years old, 50 years old. He may have been 60 years old. He may have been 70 years old. My wife's grandmother was 70, what? 70 years old. She would not hear. She could not hear the gospel. And her son, the Lord, I'm going to tell you about him in a moment. Me and his dad. But her son brought his mother to hear. Died in the womb, Methodist or First Methodist? And she would not hear. She'd sit there just shake her head like, I don't believe that. They that murmur, you know. And he'd do that. And dad said, in a little while, she's going. And those arms unfold, those shoulders sagging. How old was this man? No telling. There are no impossible cases. No one too old. I have a brother, 69 years old. He has no use for this gospel. He's heard it. He heard it as much as I did growing up. I hope we're not a Jacob and an Esau. Could be. It's the Lord, isn't it? But he's not. He seems impossible to me. With man, it's impossible. I've talked to him. Nothing's impossible with God. Wouldn't that be something? Mindy and I have talked about, Mindy's brother is wild as a Red River steer. Wouldn't that be something? Not impossible. He took him. He took him. He's got his hands on him. He's going to do something for him. And look at what the Lord did. Verse 33. He took him aside from the multitude. He took him. The Lord took him. Oh, if the Lord takes hold of us, we're in good hands on him. It looks good for us. And he took him, where did he take him? He took him aside from the multitude. First, the Lord took him to be alone, just him and the Lord. I preached a message not long ago, Genesis 32, on things, lessons learned alone, where Jacob was left alone. Left alone. And that's when the Lord came and wrestled with him. Lessons learned alone. The Lord deals with people individually, doesn't it? One-on-one. Not saved in a big camp meeting and saved on the brother system. We're saved alone with the Lord. Like the woman at the well. She was left alone with the Lord. The Lord had to speak to her personally. He had the disciples leave on purpose while he sat there and waited on that woman. This was an arranged meeting. This fella, these men, whoever it was, they brought this man to Christ, but Christ sent him. They brought him, but Christ sent him. This was a divinely ordained, predestined meeting that the Lord had determined to happen, and he came. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And that woman at the well, he was sitting, waiting on her, and he dealt with her alone. And when the Lord takes hold of us, he and speaks to us, we're going to hear his voice. I was trying to recall today what year it was. What year did you go to Danville? What year was it? 80. Okay. Mindy and I got married in 79. Remember, we came back after our honeymoon and spent the night with you all. Lookout. Well, 1978, right before then, the Lord, through her, was dealing with me. She knew the Lord. I did not. I'm the prodigal son. And I started coming back to church because of her. I had my eye on her. I didn't know. The Lord had his eye on me. But at any rate, 1978 or 9, Danville, the preacher there at that time, had my dad down to preach in a meeting. Now, I had heard my dad preach many times. And I sat there like my granddaughters are sitting here, and their granddad, sitting here hearing their dad. And I sat and I heard for years, that's my dad. That's just my dad. Yep, that's my dad. It was a time I was very proud. That's my dad. He's a good preacher. He sure is. That's my dad. About 78 or 79. It wasn't my dad. It wasn't my dad speaking. It was the Lord speaking to me. How many of you have told your preacher after a message, that was, you were just speaking to me, weren't you? That was for me. When the Lord takes someone, he deals with them alone. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He speaks through a preacher. Thank God. I'm thankful for preachers. But it's not the preacher that we must hear. It's his voice. And he does. He speaks to his people through this gospel, through his word. And he spoke to this man. He took this man aside. Scripture says, let us go forth unto him outside the camp. He took him aside from the multitude. He took him out of town. Christ is not in mainstream religion. You won't hear the gospel preached in these mega churches. He's not there. Wherever you see a multitude of people, wherever you see the world flocking to go, Christ is not there. You go the other direction. You find you a little brown skinned tabernacle in the wilderness. Like that tent out there in the wilderness. That's where the Shekinah glory of God is, isn't it? Like a little building in Kingsport or in Danville or Rocky Mount or right here. Most people drive by this place, don't they? The Jebusites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, all these ites would go by that tabernacle. That brown skin is nothing to it. It doesn't look beautiful on the outside. What's there in there? There's just a few no good Jews in there. Look at our temples up here. And there's nothing there. Oh, yes, God's there. The truth's there. Christ is there. That's where you're going to hear from Christ. That's the only place you're going to hear. That's where you're going to have to go. Aside from the multitude. That's where he took this man. Well, look at this. and he put his fingers into his ears. Now, that's a strange way to get someone to hear it. Put your finger in their ear. Is that what you do if you want somebody to hear? Put your fingers in their ear. That's what the Lord did. I'll tell you what the Lord is doing here. Now, these are the fingers. Let me remind you whose fingers these are. These are the fingers of him that wrote the law on the tablets and gave them to Moses. This is the one who wrote the law. Aren't you glad that the one who wrote the law can justify you freely from all things by which you cannot be justified by the law? Ask the woman caught in the act of adultery. He stooped down to where she was and wrote with his finger in the dirt and cleared everybody out of there. Everybody out in there was condemned by him writing with his finger, but one guilty sinner, and he justified her freely from all that. He put his fingers in his ears. You know, when the Lord begins to open our ears, what he will do is stop your ears from what you're hearing. He began to make you tired of what you're hearing. Make you discontented. David was down in a cave of Adullam one time. And men came to him, the scripture says, who were in distress, who were in debt, and discontent. They were discontent where they were. They were distressed by the bondage they were under, by the rules they were under. And a few people come out of legalism, out of reformed, the so-called religion, come to here, and they just rejoicing in the freedom they have in Christ. Say, what bondage they were under. They were in debt, they were in distress, and they were discontented. And they came to David. I know the first thing David did. You know what he did? They were in debt. You know what he did? I know exactly what he did. This is what the Lord does. I freely absolve you of all debt. No one owes one thing. And that's what you hear in the gospel, don't you? Freely forgiven. Freely redeemed. All sins are gone. The sins and iniquity you quoted, I'll remember no more. What do you say to that? Yay and amen. He delivered them of all their death and their distress. He said, you need not be in distress. You're with me. I'm your captain. I will save you. Just rest. And they were discontent. They became contented. Let me tell you a story I love to tell, and my wife loves to tell it too, about her father, Ed Ballard. Most of you may know him. My dad used to love to tell this story. Told it all the time. But he was brought by another man to hear the gospel. And before he came, he was a member of a so-called Christian church, and he did well, humanly speaking, for himself, made some money in construction. And one of the biggest givers, of course, in this big Christian church, so-called. But he began to be discontent with what he was hearing, or rather not hearing. And he went to this so-called preacher, and he said, whatever his name was, he said, I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I'm not hearing something. Those are his exact words, weren't they? I don't know what I'm not hearing. But he said, I'm not hearing something. And he told the man, saying, he said, I want to hear some hell's fire damnation or something. I'm not hearing something. You know those mealy-mouthed, pinhead, effeminate fellas. They're not saying anything. Pleasing everybody. Back scratchers, ear tickling. They're not saying nothing. It's so shallow. And this guy, my father-in-law, was a man's man. And he wasn't hearing anything. And somebody brought him to hear Henry Mahan. A man's man. A man that preached with authority, wasn't it? And here's what his comment was when he first heard Henry Mahan preach. He said, I don't understand a thing he's saying, but he's getting it out of the Bible. I know this. He's preaching it out of the Bible. He's getting something. But he still wasn't hearing. Now, the Lord makes people discontent. He put his fingers in this man's ear. Stopped his ears from hearing the noisome pestilence. That's what religion today is. Noisome pestilence. And look at this, verse 33. He spit. He took something from his mouth and opened this man's mouth and touched his tongue with it. So what the Lord did to open his ears and loose his tongue was he took something from his mouth. What is it that will open the ears of a sinner? One thing. The Word. That's what it takes. Every time. And he's going to have to do it. You know, how many times have we... One-on-one is, you know, we witness to people. We testify to people. I've never won anybody to Christ one-on-one. Anybody? I haven't. Talk to them. But when they come to hear the gospel, and you can be telling them this, and but they come and they have to sit down and shut up. And if the Lord is pleased to open their ears through the preaching of the Word, and that's the way he does it every time, no other way, through the preaching of the Word, for the foolishness of preaching. And he's the one who speaks to them, and he opens their ears through the preaching of the Word. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but the excellency of the power is going to be of God. We're going to know that. So often we preachers preach, and we aim at, and we think about this person over here. We aim an arrow over there, don't we? And we say, boy, this fella needs that, and I sure hope he hears that. I got a message for him. Pow, pow, and you're shooting arrow after arrow, and that, boom, they're bouncing off. They don't say, I'm a failure. Right over here, this fella, the arrow hit him. Why? No flesh is going to glory in his presence. But what's the power of God? It ain't the preacher. It's not by might, not by power, not by excellency of speech or ability to preach or my persuasive word. It's the Word of God. That's his power. And when he gives the word, buddy, your ear's going to be open. That's what we're waiting on, isn't it? That's what we're waiting on. The Lord to give the word. Just open their ear. That's what that centurion said. Lord, if you just say the word, he'll be healed. Well, he did. He opened his ears. Verse 34, in looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be open. He sighed. Doesn't the psalm say, for the sighing of the prisoners, I will arise. Oh, my. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord sighed. To hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those who are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. Oh, my. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Their sighing, he sighed. He hears every sigh. And he himself sighed, groaned in spirit. Lazarus' tomb, and here he sighed again. He sighed. We sighed. He sighed. We groaned. He groaned. And he sighed. But this was the breath of God. Sigh of redemption. And it opened this man's ear. Be open. And straightway, his ears were open. And the string of his tongue, look at verse 35. The string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. He spake plain. What did he say? It's not written. I know what he said. Everyone whom the Lord opens their ears, this is what they say. I know what he said. You know what he said? I know what he said. He said, salvation's of the Lord. Didn't it? With the impediment in the speech of unbelievers, those that don't know the Lord, I. The language of God's people is very clear and very plain about who does the saving. Everyone in glory is saying this, he hath saved us. He hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. He hath redeemed us. He hath chosen us. Who did the choosing? He did. Who did the saving? He did. Who did the redeeming? He did. Who's the... He is. What's your hope? He is. It's a language that the world doesn't know, that they don't speak. But we understand it, don't we? And in a minute we hear one of our brethren, we can go someplace, you can talk to somebody, can't you, Gary? You can talk to somebody, it doesn't take long for you. You recognize somebody that speaks your language. The language of the redeemed. They speak plainly. They speak clearly of the salvation that's in him and him alone. Yeah, that's what he said. Well, very quickly, let me Mark chapter 8. Just want you to see this. I mentioned this blind man. Mark chapter 8, look at this. Verse 22, I believe it is. Yeah, he comes to Mark chapter 8, verse 22. He cometh to Bethsaida, another city, was blessed of the Lord. And they bring a blind man unto him. Somebody had a friend that was blind. Where'd they bring him? To Christ. They wanted him to come to Christ. And they besought him to touch him. Lord, would you heal his eye? What'd he do? He took him. He took the blind man by the hand. Where'd he take him? Out of town. Aside from the multitude. Let's get out of here, you and me. And you're going to leave this place seeing my glory, hearing my voice, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Do you know anybody? Huh? You know anybody? Bring them to Christ. Beseech the Lord. He's still taking sinners today. Okay. May the Lord bless you.